The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning.
I thought Josh would love them shoes.
I love the swag.
The man is tall.
It's not you.
It's me.
The captain of Team Fun is Mike Greenberg.
It's really not relevant, but I found it interesting.
Let's go.
Bam! Oh, no!
Let's go.
I'm Hannah Storm making my debut.
You gotta hold on to your head, Hannah.
Let me try to summarize it. FUBAR.
You are either inside or you are outside.
I'm gonna introduce you to something called a gazebo. Let's go booger in the bayou.
There's a better chance, Greeny, of me growing an afro right now than Tom Brady coming back to play football.
Joe Burrow is sexy, and he got a lot of guys feeling real uncomfortable.
We're having a little too much fun today. These were your Madden photos in 2006.
They got my agility the same as Damian Woody's.
And you know who's upset about that is Damian Woody.
I don't know what is happening in this photo.
This is the last Monday I'm doing with you guys.
Russ Cook. Russ Cook is how we meant to say that. whatever. Such a fun week. It's always so much fun here. And the fun is only going to get ratcheted up now because, as anyone can see in the camera there, Kmart's got the Jays working today. Big Perk is paying attention. Big Perk, what do we think of the footwear on Ms. Martin today?
Hey, listen, I'm telling you, Kim, when it comes down to them Jays, she knows she be rocking them. But look, if I don't get a pair in the mail, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be some smoke in the city. Them right, hey, Greeny, them right there, man, look at them ones. Look at them ones.
See the glisten.
It's casual Friday for us here on Get Up. We are presented by DraftKings on maybe the busiest day of the year. We had the trade. We got Rodgers last night. We got the Super Bowl on Sunday. Let's get the hour started. We begin with the blockbuster, one of the biggest trades we've seen in any sport in years. The Nets are sending James Harden to the Sixers for Ben Simmons. There's a package of other players involved as well. Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, and two first-round picks also going to Brooklyn, but the headliners are the headliners. So last night's the All-Star Draft. Kevin Durant is on TNT with the crew, and he was talking about the trade. Here's what he said.
I'm excited for our team. Looking forward to finishing the season out with these new group and these new players. And, you know, it's playoffs right around the corner, so we got to fast track into, you know, getting used to each other. But I'm excited. You know, I think everybody got what they wanted. I feel like we got versatile players, so we'll have to figure it out and figure out what works for us. But I'm just happy that we got guys that want to be a part of this.
I want to be there. That's going to be a little salty. Again, Timmy Legs jumps back in with us here. And Big Perk, Perk, we've not heard from you yet. You told me the beginning of this week that if the Sixers got James Harden, they became the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. Now, you saw what they had to give up to get him. Are they right now the best team in the East?
Absolutely, Greeny. Look, we're looking at the next possible Kobe and Shaq, right? When you talk about elite scoring, prolific scoring at the guard position and inside with Joel and B, I don't know what defense you could design to stop those two. And look, when you talk about them putting those two in a pick and roll, side pick and roll, late game situations or whatever the case may be, it's not, no one in the league is going to be able to stop them. And then on top of that, they were able to keep Thibault, one of the best wing defenders in the game today. But this is the thing. These two guys might break a record for as free throw attempts in the game. I mean, they're going to get to the free throw line. And here's another thing. Yes, I have Philly as my favorite, and I've been hearing a lot of pressures on Doc Rivers, and rightfully so. But guess what? A lot of pressure is on Steve Nash as well over there in Brooklyn. While a lot of people are trying to point the finger at Doc Rivers, Steve Nash has not fulfilled his obligation and lived up to the standard as well over there in Brooklyn.
I agree with that. I just think a lot more is expected, candidly, of Doc than is expected of Steve. But your point is well taken. So, Legs, you heard his breakdown there. Give it to me from your perspective. You know that team as well as anybody. Embiid and Harden, how exactly does it fit together?
Oh, it fits for sure. It's just a matter of now determining the ebb and flow of their offense, because you're talking about, you know, James Harden never having played with a big guy quite like this. Most of the bigs that James Harden has played with in his career have been pick and dive type of players, and they get to the rim for a pocket pass or a lob, or James does his thing. This is a little different now. You set a two-man game with Joel Embiid, he's going to want that basketball back, whether it's as a post-up or he's going to pick and pop. He's going to want to get his touches at the elbows. You know, the year that he is having right now and the versatility he's showing, James Harden has to make sure, you know, he incorporates that. And conversely, Joel Embiid has never played with a ball-dominant guard that shoots the ball as much as James Harden. So listen, there is definitely going to be an adjustment period, but once they get through that, Perk is 100% right. This is the most potent offensive combination in the NBA, and as a result, they should be favored to win the Eastern Conference now. And look, do they have enough shooting around them? I think that's going to be a question mark. But keeping Thibault was key because he can guard anybody in the perimeter in the NBA, and you've also got maybe the best rim protector in the Eastern Conference in Joel Embiid. So the Sixers won this trade because they weren't going to win a championship with Ben Simmons. They weren't going to win a championship with the roster they had this year because they didn't replace Ben Simmons. This is the first time they're genuinely in the debate as a championship contender. That's why you have to say Philly won the trade, because Brooklyn was already there and they're still a championship contender. Philly upped it a notch. They're on that top tier now, and they weren't prior to yesterday.
All right, fair. So that's that one side of the trade. Let's go to the other side. What are the Brooklyn Nets, Big Perk, with those two, with whatever it is that Kyrie winds up being by the time we get to the playoffs, and a healthy Kevin Durant, and they get Ben Simmons in there and start working him in? How good are the Nets?
I mean, Greenwich, I'm trying to figure that out as well. I mean, because it's not about the talent, it's about, one, the availability of Kyrie Irving, and two, it's about the mindset of Ben Simmons. Look, I'm not taking anything away from Ben Simmons. One thing we know is that he's one of the best defensive players in the game today, a guy that's able to go out there and switch 1-5 pick and rolls and guard anybody. But it comes down to Ben Simmons and his mindset. And we saw last year in the playoffs, far as his confidence, that he shied away from the moment. Not only just passing up layups and dunks, but afraid to attack the basket because he's afraid to get to the free throw line. Ultimately, I think this is going to come down to the leadership of Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant is going to have to be a leader like never before, control that locker room, give Ben Simmons some confidence, something like what Draymond Green and Steph Curry has done for Andrew Wiggins, and I think they'll be just fine. I'm not picking them to win, but I think they'll be okay.
I agree with you on the KD of it all. They need to get him back healthy because his presence alone, I have to believe, would help. So Legs, then let me come to you on that. And Kyrie remains the big if in all of this. And we are all aware that, you know, culturally we are living at this time now where vaccine mandates and mask mandates and all that kind of stuff are evolving. And in particular here in New York State, they are. If, and this is an enormous if, we get to a place in the playoffs where Kyrie Irving is eligible to play all games, home and road, and you put that big three together, are the Nets, in your opinion, the team to beat in the East?
Well, it's hard to answer that, Greeny, until you see Ben Simmons' impact and can he psychologically handle the pressure that's going to come with this. This team is expected to win a championship. He put the bullseye on himself squarely with what he did this year and forcing his way out of Philly and basically choosing not to even play basketball. That's how much he wanted to be out of there. He's got 20-something games to play with this group before they get into the playoffs, potentially having to go through Philadelphia to get to the finals. So I think, can he handle the pressure of it? He's going to help them in a lot of ways, obviously. He's an elite defender. His pace is going to help them. And I think most importantly, he can create offense for the rest of their roster. KD and Kyrie don't need him to create offense for them. But the rest of those guys do need Ben Simmons for that. He can do it with his pace. He can guard anybody on the floor. But can he handle the pressure? Because he is still going to be on the floor in the last 5 minutes of games, and there's a major issue that has not been addressed, and we've barely talked about it. He hasn't really addressed what led us to this place in the first place, which was his lack of confidence in certain moments and his lack of aggression in obvious scoring opportunities. If that's still there, that's a problem you've got to deal with at the end of games. So I need to see if Ben Simmons has helped himself in any way psychologically to handle the pressure picture of what he's going to come into right now in Brooklyn and the potential of having to go through Philadelphia to get to the NBA Finals. And my goodness, I'm so glad I live that close to the Wells Fargo Center, because I will be there anytime Ben Simmons is in town. Although I don't know if he's going to play a game there in the regular season. I'd be surprised if he takes the court on March 10th.
Wait, March 10th, Thursday night in Philly. Super quick, Legs. You do not expect Simmons to play in that game?
He should, because he should get it over with. But I'll be surprised if he, man, I'm going to tell you something. I saw what Jimmy Butler got when he came back with Miami, and this doesn't compare to that. I can't imagine what they're going to unleash on Ben Simmons if he steps on that court.
Put a final word to it, Big Perk.
Man, listen, if I'm Ben Simmons, I'm with Legs. You got to get over it. But that's that part of mental toughness that Ben Simmons has to develop and has to get past. But look, here's the thing. I want to know how Steve Nash is going to utilize Ben Simmons. That's going to be key for the Nets, because right now we talk about him being able to push the ball and push the pace. We know that they love to go a lot of isolation ball. It's going to be interesting to see how Steve Nash utilizes Ben Simmons as far as being in the offensive set.
All right, guys, stay close. We have much more on this as we go. It's one of the biggest trades we've seen in a long time in any sport. Thank you both. In the meantime, back to football, because we had big news last night. Aaron Rodgers won MVP again. He became the fifth player in history to win the award in consecutive seasons, joining Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Joe Montana, and Jim Brown. But perhaps just as interesting, or even more so, was Rodgers talking about his future after he won. Here's what he said.
I don't fear retirement. I don't fear moving on. I'm very proud of what I've accomplished, proud that I've accomplished it in Green Bay over the last 17 years, and excited about the future, whatever that ends up being or looking like. Also still highly competitive, and still that bitter taste from the divisional game. So definitely a lot to weigh, but thankful for the Packers organization and the conversations that we had at the end of the season.
All right. So, I mean, he has said so many things this year, and there are some more of them, but we are getting closer and closer to some sort of decision being made here. And I will say this, Kmart, and perhaps it is because it is only one of the very few ways he can apply leverage on the Packers. But if you just listen to that in a vacuum, that sounded like a person to me who was seriously considering retiring from football.
Yeah, in a vacuum. But it's hard to even listen to that in a vacuum, because we literally have heard him talking all year since the offseason. He does sound like somebody who's ready for something else, like who wants to move on. I still think staying in Green Bay makes the most sense. People I talk to don't see the Green Bay Packers trading for him, though I do, as we talked about earlier. I do understand points made by Charles Woodson about, you know, it might be time now, and especially coming off two MVP seasons, try to get a King's ransom. Here's my question. If he wants to stay in Green Bay, what is stopping him from just saying it? Like, what? Like, at this point, we've talked so much about his future. Just say, especially where we know Devontae Adams has to make a decision as to what, you know, what his future is. Just say it. If he wants to be there, just say it.
Yeah, which is what leads many of us to speculate that he doesn't want to be there, because it would be so easy to say. You know, there's an expression, too big to fail in business. It feels to me, Tim, like your perspective all along has been, he's too good to trade.
Right.
It's almost impossible to do it.
Yeah, because what you would be doing is you essentially, like, shipping off the best quarterback in football for a guy that you saw play, you know, a game and did not play well at all. Like, you're turning the page to Jordan Love for a guy that over the last four seasons has thrown 136 touchdowns and 15 picks. No one has ever done that before. And so I think that part of it is like, look, if he still wants to play, which I think he does, because even though you're right, in a vacuum of how that sounds, like, this is also the guy, as he's teeing off at the Waste Management Open, is making sure everybody knows that it's four MVPs, not three.
Right.
And when he goes back next year, he's going to go that it's five MVPs.
Right.
I mean, like, he's still that guy that's that competitive. And so, you know, I think in that respect, like, if you're Green Bay, you have, like, we can say King's ransom all we want. Okay, let pretend you're his agent, and pretend you're the team. Like, what is the actual amount? What's the actual amount?
He's invaluable. I understand the point you're making. The decision the Packers would be making at that point, Bart, is we've gone as far as we can go with this.
Yes.
We're up against the cap. We've got all that. It is just time, for better or worse, and we understand there's going to be some worse, but it is time to move on from this. That's the only rationale.
Right. You talk about, you know, 13-3 the last couple of years. You know, he's been the MVP, and where has that gotten you? You know, you have to understand. I think that he understands. An athlete knows, like, man, this is about the best. Last year's team was probably the best team that they probably has ever put on the football
field. Meaning the one that just ended.
The one just ended. And they can't retain all these guys. And you know, you think about, you know, $48 million over the salary cap, 27, you know, free agents coming up this year. At some point, you have to turn the page. And listen, it's a tough pill to swallow because you have the consistency, and he's still playing at such a high level. But do you think that, you know, look at what happened with Tom Brady. And we understand that Tom Brady was a free agent. It was time to walk it back. But if New England wanted to bring him back, they could have brought him back. But, you know, you have to eventually set yourself – your obligation as a general manager is for the future as well, not just the present. And they went all in. Now, listen, they brought in free agents. They spent money like never before, and they still fell short. And I think it's best for everybody to move forward is to start over and try and use him as the building blocks for what the Green Bay Packers are going to be going forward, now where they're at right now.
I have to leave it there for the moment. We have more to say about this. It is such an unbelievably busy day. Oh, by the way, the Super Bowl is the day after tomorrow. So as we continue with just a moment, we look ahead to Joe Burrow's toughest test yet. Is he about to get demolished by Donald? We're all over the biggest game of the year, and we'll tell you who's going to win as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Rolling along, and Super Bowl history is filled with teams who rode late season hot streaks all the way to the Lombardi. Maybe none more famous than the 2007 Giants, the Tyree play, the Eli miracle. They beat the previously unbeaten Patriots. Last year, the Bucs were 7-5 at one point in time. They won their final eight games, including three road playoff wins and then a home Super Bowl win in Super Bowl 55. And that brings us to these Bengals. Last time they lost a game Joe Burrow started was December 12th. Since then, they've won six straight. And Richard Sherman has a warning for the Rams defense.
You better get to the quarterback or you going to be in trouble. Because, hey, I'm the D coordinator. I got this guy who can play. Do I have anybody else? Because if y'all press, y'all will get the doors beat off y'all. People bomb them. There's some tape out there.
It sure is.
Running through that defense.
It is, bro.
That middle linebacker.
Reader? What is it? Reader? Yeah.
He can be had. Joe Mixon, have fun. Have you a great day. If they don't get to Burrow, it's not gonna be a fun game for them.
So that's an interesting and somewhat different perspective. And before I get to Tim's tape, you make that point in the break. You were talking about the Rams, the weakness of that defense might be in their linebacker.
Yeah, player. Well, you talk about Joe Mixon. He's a dual threat guy. He can do it all. And, you know, Reader is a heavy-footed guy. But, you know, they lost some of their players. You can't have great players at every position and have the highest paid players in your position. So you have to spread the wealth out. And where they're vulnerable at, I think, is at the linebacker position. But unlike Richard Sherman, listen, Richard Sherman was a great corner. He was not a lockdown corner.
Right.
Ramsey is a lockdown corner. Whenever me or Rex went against great receivers like that, we always took the second best corner, put him on the best receiver. That way you can double him, because when you have a guy like Ramsey, he allows you to insert the extra man into the box. And that's where Weddle will come in. I'm assuming that Weddle will bracket you know, with Reader, because he had to understand their vulnerability and be able to bracket, mix, and inside and out to allow him to play a certain type of leverage.
All right, so then, Tim, let's get to the tape here that you have, because Burrow in the pocket against that pass rush does feel like the single biggest storyline of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the issue ends up being, you know, we say, hey, they have a bad offensive line, but it's really the right guard position that is a huge hole for Cincinnati. And so they have juggled guys in and out because of injury, because of performance. And so that ends up being the issue. It's Hakeem Adeniji and it's Jackson Carmen, okay? And, you know, you just look at the situation here. We're talking about Burrow in the pocket. It's a different play here. Yeah. His ability to move. Okay, here's Fenton on a blitz that he doesn't see picked up, right? Well, he escaped. So this should be a third and 12. It ends up being a third and one. His elusiveness in the pocket, what you're referring to. Similar situation here. It's an inside pressure. Well, he's got to climb. Even as he climbs, he kind of has static in his face, still able to make an accurate throw. Go to the Kansas City game again, and you just look at, you know, his ability to make people miss, even when they have hands on him to create offense. What's interesting about Burrow, I think, is this, is that while he's not a running quarterback, he is so slippery.
Yeah.
Like he, and you can go back to his tape at LSU, and like that was so much of what he did.
Yeah.
I thought the biggest question mark for him coming into the season was, what would that look like coming off the knee injury?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been a non-issue, and it's really kind of improved as the season has gone along.
That's such a good point. And again, Kmart, you've been around that team so much. For a guy who had the devastating injury a year ago, to deal with as much pressure in the pocket as he has and still manage to remain calm, remain cool, find ways to make first downs, and find ways to keep his eyes downfield instead of watching the trash around his legs, it really is a remarkable ability on his part.
Yeah, and, you know, when you talk to players like Joe Mixon or Ja'Marr Chase about Joe Burrow, they say it's the poise. They talk about how he never is rattled. When we discuss whether he can handle this Rams pressure, handling it, it doesn't mean he won't get sacked. Like, I'm going into this game expecting to be sacked, but he was sacked 9 times, 63 times all season long, including the playoffs. And he still gets up, so he can handle it. It's about are you rattled? How does it affect you mentally when you get hit? We've talked about Tom Brady, not like a lot of these quarterbacks, once you get in their face, once you knock them to the ground, it starts to wear on him. It starts to show. Joe is different in that way.
But isn't this defense different? I mean, they didn't have Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd and Von Miller and all that.
And see, so sometimes you have to be able to rush the quarterback with intelligence. See, these are veteran guys. They don't go for the big hits or anything like that. They go for the football. See, like, so understanding they go for the football, they understand how to retrace their steps when they get the quarterback depth. They understand how to rush in unison. They understand, like, if Floyd goes underneath, then Von knows he's going to go with the fish hook. And then so it's about making sure that you also are able to close up the vulnerabilities of the lanes when you get up the field and know how to retrace. So I see these guys understanding that Joe Burrow was slippery last week. So now you tackle the football. You come to balance. You don't lean and lunge. You make sure you take the extra step because you have the time, especially if you believe in Ramsey being able to play tight man-to-man coverage and have guys lurking. So this is a defense that rushes with intelligence, much different from the outfits before. These are Hall of Fame rushers.
Yeah, I think that's the key. You know, Cincinnati has dealt with going into games being overmatched with their offensive line. It was the case against the Raiders. It was the case against the Titans. It was the case against Kansas City.
Yeah.
And they survive it. And some of those scenarios are different. What was the pressure against the Raiders? Well, it was an edge rusher that you had to deal with. So what are you going to do? And you're going to chip him. You're going to have that plan for him. You know, against Tennessee couldn't score. So, like, it was an issue.
Right.
But the bigger issue was that the Titans couldn't find the end zone. And then when you look at Kansas City, like, really that was the outlier of him making plays. It really didn't manifest itself that way in the other games. I think what ends up being tricky here, and I think what you're saying, Bart, is that, like, the quickness that these guys will get to the quarterback and how they do it and the number of guys that will do it, I think, is a different animal.
Yeah, and look, I mean, give the credit to the Cincinnati defense, too, keeping them in these games through all of these different ups and downs. We'll see. As we continue, more on the blockbuster of all blockbusters. We had maybe the biggest trade we've seen in sports in years. We'll find out who we think won that deal as we continue in a moment. And then, speaking of who wins, it's Sneaky Hembo against Bart, and here it is. The Bengals would become the second team to win a Super Bowl with 7 losses. Which was the first? That's the question. The answer is next. I think he knows it. We'll find out. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're watching Get Up. We are presented by DraftKings, and we proudly present Bart Scott going head-to-head with Hembo. Here we go. So the Bengals are looking to become the second team ever to win a Super Bowl with 7 losses. Mm-hmm. It has only happened once before. Which team did it? We need the team, and we need the year.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the New York Giants. Victor Cruz goes down the sideline in 2011. It still hurts my heart to see them raise the Lombardi Trophy.
To be clear, he went down that sideline against the Jets in the regular season.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It was Mario Manningham who made the big catch, but you are correct. That is right. That is the right Giants team. And I'll give you credit because I thought it was the previous one. I thought it was the 07 Giants, but they were 10-6 going in and playing the unbeaten Patriots. It was the 2011 Giants. Score that one.
Take
for
that, Hembo.
Take that, Hembo is right. All right, back to the huge deal yesterday. We had one of the biggest trades in recent sports history, much less the NBA. And by now, you're aware of what happened. It's Harden going one way. It's Ben Simmons going the other. Last night, during the All-Star Draft, Kevin Durant, and you'll see this exchange here on TNT, very much avoided selecting one player. Take a look at this.
Yeah, I need some size and some defense in the interior.
Yeah.
Especially with Giannis and LeBron James
without
playing
question.
Such great basketball this year. I need somebody to offset that, so I'm going to go with Rudy Gobert.
He hasn't played. Is he healthy?
Who's that?
James, he hasn't played.
He's missed.
What happens if he doesn't?
Oh, he got traded. He's healthy now.
He's missed the last three with a hammy. See, and now we know why LeBron carries a clipboard with him to the draft.
Hey, LeBron, oh my gosh, trust me right man. Now, he's rubbing some ice hot on that thing. He's playing the next game.
No questions. I can't with y'all.
That was incredibly funny. Stephen A. Smith will be here in a second. Big Perk jumps in for a quick reaction to that because we've not yet gotten your – what did you think about Durant snubbing Harden last night?
Well, Greeny, you know, the great Richard Jefferson said yesterday, if you stay petty, you don't have to get ready to get petty. So at the end of the day, we already knew where that was going. I mean, obviously KD is showing his frustration because, you know, he thought that, you know, he made moves to get James there, you know, as far as their brotherhood or whatever. And you know, things happen. But you know how KD is. I don't see nothing wrong with it. I actually love it. I'm petty myself.
I think we all loved it. I'm going to let you get yourself ready for First Take because you're going to be going head-to-head with Stephen A. Smith right off the top of that show at 10 o'clock Eastern time. But let's give you a little taste, a little amuse-bouche, if you will, of what we can expect as the great Stephen A. joins us here. All right, it happened. You told me Wednesday night it might happen. When Woj reported on Countdown, the sides aren't talking, I turned to you in a break and I said, so I guess it's not going to happen. You said, no, Greeny, this could come together that quickly. Yeah. What's your reaction?
Brooklyn won the trade, and they won by a landslide. And as far as I'm concerned, Daryl Morey, this may have been the worst move of his career as an executive in comparison to letting go of Chris Paul and a couple of picks for Russell Westbrook.
Hmm.
Is that questionable? The Philadelphia 76ers are better. Nobody's saying they're not better. The problem is you made Brooklyn exponentially better. And as a result of that, they're the team that's going to be standing in your way. It could be Milwaukee as well. We know that. But Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving have an all-world defender who's 6'10", ball handling skills, athletic freak, high basketball IQ. And guess what? He doesn't want to shoot. So now that's more shots for Kyrie and Kevin Durant, two of the most prolific professional shot makers we've ever seen. That's what you've done for Brooklyn. Then you gave them Seth Curry, who's one of the prolific three-point shooters. Been injured, shoot 28% from the field for like his last 6 games. But we know over the course of his career how well he can shoot, and he's a Curry. That means he can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
We see Andre Drummond. You're thin on your front line if you're the Brooklyn Nets. Everybody's looking at Milwaukee and other teams, and they're saying you're undersized. What do? You acquire Andre Drummond, who can grab 20 rebounds a night in his sleep. Good for 4 to 5 offensive rebounds a game, which gives Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving additional shots. You add Seth Curry to Patty Mills, who's another prolific three-point shooter. And, oh, by the way, you also give up 2 first-round picks? I'm sorry. Philadelphia can celebrate. But James Harden has never been under more pressure, and neither has Daryl Morey, so they are in bed together in regards to that. They are under immense pressure. And Doc Rivers, he doesn't get a pass with this either, because we know what the expectations are for him, one of the top 15 coaches in the history of basketball, it was voted the other day, and deservedly so as far as I'm concerned. I love the guy, but you're under pressure. You got to produce. And if you're James Harden, you have never been under a bigger microscope, because now the pressure has elevated in his direction even more so than pressure for Kyrie Irving, more so than pressure for Kevin Durant. Because if you're Philadelphia and Daryl Morey, who clearly told the Sixers, even though Elton Brand was doing a great job, put me in as president of basketball operations and I'm going to get you Harden. Mm-hmm. He was so transparent in wanting Harden. This is how you give up all that he gave up to get Harden. When Sean Marks lies in wait because he knows this is all about you wanting Harden. You didn't want Damian Lillard or anybody else. Harden has been your target from day one. You were transparent. Clearly, Daryl Morey does not play poker. And as a result of that, this is what your situation is. He's under immense pressure, and they better get it done.
I'll tell you this. The top of First Take is going to be fire, because your guy, Big Perk, is going to tell you the Sixers are now the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. Sure, he loves this trade from the Philly side.
So what? I mean, listen. Nice. He looks like a professor now. He got on the glasses and all this stuff. Uh-huh. He's a big boy. He could be intimidating to some people. He does not scare me. Big Perk is my pupil. You understand what I'm saying? I'm the senior. He's the junior. So I'm not concerned about him at all.
All right, I'll have my popcorn ready for the top of the show. I want to ask you about something. Sure. So many things.
Sure.
No one knows Philly better than you do. You were a columnist of the Philadelphia Inquirer for a long time.
Yeah.
March 10th, the Nets go to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Do you expect Ben Simmons to play in that game? And if he does, what do you expect the environment to be?
If he plays, it will be bad. Philadelphia will never forgive him for what he has done, because Philadelphia is a hard-nosed, blue-collar city. And you can honestly say no player in NBA history has ever looked weaker than he looked. Now, he says mental health issues and all of that other stuff, and we take that very, very seriously, and we don't poo-poo that. We don't dismiss that for anybody that's truly going through that. What's important to understand, as I said in front of you right on NBA Countdown the other day, most people don't believe him. Most people believe that the second he gets traded, he would be playing for somebody else. Now, if he sat out the next few months because he's still having mental health issues, then that would be a different animal. But if he comes back to play, which is expected, and then suddenly you show up in Philly, they will boo him mercilessly. They will have no sympathy, no pity, no compassion on him. And if he doesn't show up to play, it'll really show that he's very, very weak if you play all these other games, but somehow, some way, you conveniently get injured or sick or something happens that makes you miss that particular game. He can't take that heat. Philadelphia will be like, fine, we didn't want you anyway, because we're not a city that's made up of that kind of metal.
And Timmy Legler said earlier here, those teams could play in the playoffs. Maybe he's better off getting that out of the way, at least the first return in the regular season before they go. All right, one more thing before I let you go to First Take. So I have a Twitter poll question up there. You know how I love my Twitter polls.
Yes, yes, yes.
So we really got, like, 2 weeks ago, all of you guys on Countdown, you and Wilbon and Jalen, told me you thought the Heat are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference.
Well, I said Milwaukee, too.
Milwaukee. Yes. But, I mean, I think we all kind of landed on Miami.
Yes.
Well, now we got the Heat. We got Milwaukee, who has looked very good. We got the new-look Nets and the new-look Sixers. Right now, who's the team to beat in the East?
Milwaukee. And I would remind you that the other day, Wilbon and Jalen said Miami.
Yeah.
I said Miami because that's where I want to be.
Oh, that's right. That's
I said Milwaukee is the team right now that I'd give the edge to.
That's right.
And they're acquiring Serge Ibaka, maybe the sleeper of yesterday's trade deadline. I'm sorry. Yeah, trade deadline.
Yeah.
Serge Ibaka can help the Milwaukee Bucks, okay? Forget what happened last night with Phoenix. Milwaukee is legit. They're experienced. They're the reigning defending NBA champions. We know what Giannis and Drew Holiday and Middleton bring to the table if fully healthy and loaded. I'm not ruling out Brooklyn, because I think Kyrie with KD and Ben Simmons with Patty Mills, Seth Curry and those boys could definitely make some noise. Here's what I'm most interested in. I love this part. What you gonna do, Kyrie? James Harden's gone. That puts more of an onus on you offensively to help out KD, because that ain't what Ben Simmons is here for. So, the vaccine and the mandate and all of this other stuff, now more than ever, you're going to be needed. And clearly, the falling out that took place between James Harden and Kevin Durant had everything to do with Kyrie Irving, because KD rolls with Kyrie Irving, and we all know that. There, once again, KD has come to the support and defense of Kyrie Irving. What you gonna do? Gonna leave him hanging? You got an all-world defensive player, a ball handler, a playmaker, an elite defender. You've got the one of the greatest, if not the greatest scorer in NBA history eventually with Kevin Durant, one of the greatest scorers in NBA history. You've got supplementary parts around you. But so much is key on Kyrie Irving's availability. What you gonna do? You gonna leave him hanging? You gonna be about yourself? You gonna think all about Kyrie? Or you gonna think about KD, your brother, who has been there for you from day one? What's he gonna do? That's a storyline that you keep your eyes on, because at the end of the day, we could be looking at Kyrie Irving and calling him one of the most selfish individual superstars we've ever seen when all is said and done, if he don't roll out there and make sure he's ready to go to war, figuratively speaking, of course, with Kevin Durant.
Do not miss this top of the hour. He and Perk, it's going to be fireworks. First Take coming up shortly, and then I'll see you tomorrow night.
That's right.
Thank you so much for coming in early today, Steve, and I appreciate it. Tomorrow night, I have to talk, because we're going to be on ABC tomorrow night. We've got LeBron and the Lakers. They didn't do anything yesterday. Taking on Steph and the Warriors should be a very interesting night. Our coverage will start with NBA Countdown, 8 Eastern on ABC. We'll have plenty of reaction to this monster trade as well. Meanwhile, coming up here, what must Matthew Stafford do to win the Super Bowl, and what happens if he loses? Will the season be a failure? We're talking about that, and we're picking winners in Super Bowl 56. Next, get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Monday morning on Get Up, we will either be talking about the legend of Joe Burrow reaching superstar status, or Matthew Stafford finally getting to the pinnacle and rewarding the Rams' enormous gamble. All the angles from what we expect to be a highly entertaining Super Bowl Monday. Get Up, 8 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. All right, we look forward to that. We roll on today. Get Up, we're presented by DraftKings, and right now we present Tim Hasselbeck and some QB quick reads. Tim, let's start with Joe Burrow going up against a great front in the Rams. How are we looking at that?
Yeah, I think we're going to see a quarterback that's under constant pressure. And I know that he's faced pressure in good fronts throughout the postseason, but this is another level. And I think another level of pressure on him. And so if the game plan, you know, doesn't dictate success on early downs, I think it could end up being a long night for Joe Burrow.
Come on, they were 2nd and 9, it felt like, on every possession last week against Kansas City. Next up for the Rams, McVay and Stafford together, what are we looking at?
Yeah, I think we're going to see Sean McVay control the game for Matthew Stafford. Look, turnovers, interceptions in particular, have been an issue. And I think we've seen McVay kind of take a little bit more control in terms of what they're designing up for Stafford, move the pocket plays. Not to say the way that Kyle Shanahan will call a game for Jimmy Garoppolo, but I think in the same vein a little bit, which is a good thing for the Rams.
Right, that's interesting. And let's talk about the connection then between Stafford and his favorite receiver.
Yeah, and I think that with the game being called that way, the guy that Stafford is going to rely on is Cooper Kupp. He is essentially going to continue to lean on him the way he has all season long. And so the ball will go other places, but I think in critical moments, you know it's going to number 10. And I think that's how McVay wants it. And I think, quite honestly, that's how Matthew Stafford wants it.
That's fascinating. Let's bring that out here, because the one piece of this we haven't talked a lot about, you have the quarterback who was sacked the most of anyone in the NFL this year on one side. That's Joe Burrow. We've talked about that endlessly. You have the quarterback who threw the most interceptions of anyone in the NFL this year. That's Matthew Stafford. I mean, in the Super Bowl, turnovers almost always wind up deciding it. That feels like a major factor in this game.
I agree with you. I mean, I think if Matthew Stafford turns the ball over, what you're doing is just giving the Cincinnati offense more chances to put points on the board. And we've talked about how dynamic and explosive this receiving core is. Joe Mixon, we talked a lot about Ja'Marr Chase, but we need to talk about Joe Mixon in this running game too, because he is explosive. So if Stafford turns the ball over, you're just giving Cincinnati more chances.
Bart, this is Stafford has thrown his share of picks. Yep. They also turned the ball over four times in that game against Tampa without throwing an interception. Right. So turnovers, which generally decide Super Bowls, if you're thinking ahead of time on which team should have the edge there, you lean towards Cincinnati, no?
Well, I lean towards Cincinnati being able to have a little bit more ball security, because, you know, Stafford at times can get loose with the football, and Cam Akers has, you know, fumbled. Mm-hmm. Once a fumbler, always a fumbler is what we say. You know, you talk about that ball security. It's the Super Bowl. You got emotions are high. You're trying to fight for that extra yard. You know, guys have gotten so much better. It used to be just Peanut Tillman was the best at punching the ball out. But guys have got really good at punching the ball out when you're fighting for those extra yards. So you have to realize when it's important, when you can't. You know, Matthew, you know, can throw some picks. And, you know, it's still amazing me when I see Eli Apple out there, and nobody, like, this was a guy that couldn't play dead in the country western when he was here with the Giants. But now he's found ways to make plays. And do you try to exploit those type of matchups that you have? We should have the advantage.
Tim, I want to go back to the QB quick read. So for the fans who are getting set to watch the game, and you say they're going to have, I don't want to put words in your mouth, a more cautious, perhaps, passing attack. What will that look like? How will we recognize that?
Well, what makes you think that you take the kid out of Detroit, but Detroit not out of the kid? That's a little bit the case for Stafford. Like, Stafford has found himself in, like, kind of taking unnecessary chances, you know, like, they take shot plays. Like, just because you call a shot doesn't mean you have to throw it if it's not there. So what will it look like? Think about all the move the pocket plays. They love to run inside zone where they, you know, scrape across the formation and kick out so they can cut it back. And then off of that, here comes Cooper Kupp, and then you think that he's kicking out, but look, no, he's right into the flat. And so the read for Stafford is, after the fake, I come out. There's Cooper Kupp right in front of me. If he's not there, maybe I'm throwing the comeback behind it, or here comes an over route. Like, easy 1-2 right in front of you, you know, type read stuff. I think that's what we'll see.
I turn to the psych major over here. And again, we talk about all the pressure on Stafford. And I'm old enough to know that historically Super Bowls were almost always blowouts because those turnovers start to compound themselves. You know, if Stafford has a bad shaky moment earlier, does that start to become something where the pressure starts to mount?
That's what I'm interested to see, because over this recent stretch, he has been better. He has played better. I think the Rams are sort of up and down offensively. This could be the moment for Matt Stafford where he puts it all to rest. Mm-hmm. Like, no, this moment is not too big for me. I am that guy. And hopefully if he does make mistakes, they aren't compounded, because that's what we'd expect from Matt Stafford.
For all the credit we've given Joe Burrow, and he deserves every word of it, the Cincinnati defense and their kicker are the reason they're in the Super Bowl, right? They hung in there from down 21-3, and they kept them in that game, and the kicker is a weapon. He's not a luxury. Those are the reasons they're here. Let's see what Stafford does up against that. All right, First Take is coming up in just a few minutes here on ESPN. You saw Stephen A. He's ready to go. Who won the blockbuster trade? Stephen A. and Big Pert disagree in a big way. You won't want to miss that off the top of the hour. But we have the most important thing left to do on this program. Oh, we've given Bart the mallet. He is going to smash the helmets, and we are making our Super Bowl pick.
Yeah.
Don't miss it. Next, get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You're watching Get Up, presented by DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Hey, don't miss UFC 271 Saturday night from Houston. We got Israel Adesanya putting his title on the line against Robert Whittaker. Prelims are on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus starting 8 Eastern, followed by the main card on pay-per-view.
Big man, tiny helmet. I think I work for it. He's got the shield. We got the goggle. Who gets their helmet smashed?
Do not kill me with these helmets.
Yourself.
You might want to put that third up.
A little piece of that actually went in my mouth.
You okay?
No. I have like a little bit of helmet in my mouth.
I'm sorry. Like, I'm literally taking out the set here. This shrapnel be going everywhere. I got myself with the shrapnel.
This segment is dangerous.
Now, I have no idea what to expect here, but our beloved big fan, Damian Woody, is out in L.A. with the Super Bowl coverage. So we are taking his big man, tiny helmet bit, and we are handing it off to his former teammate.
Medium man, big helmet,
Bart,
I guess.
Scott, no, you're a big man. By normal human standards,
yes,
you definitely
you
fit the bill. So we got the Rams helmet. We got the Bengals helmet. You're going to pick the winner of the Super Bowl by smashing the losing helmet. How do we see this going?
Well, I'll tell you what, Green, it's a lot of pressure on the Rams. You think about they're the home team, they're the veteran team, they're a team that's all in. And the Bengals are playing with house money. They should be the looser team. They have nothing to lose. At the end of the day, I think because of the veteran leadership and because they're playing for legacies, Aaron Donald, Whitworth is one of the good guys of the NFL. I think it's got to be. I think it's got to be the Bengals, Greeny.
I took that one in the arm. There's a pretty good chance I will not be here for NBA Countdown tomorrow or Sunday, as I will be having x-rays done on the arm. Okay, fair enough. So that's one pick for the Rams.
Yeah.
Bart Scott likes the Rams. We will make our predictions in the form of Monday morning headlines, which is another tradition here on Get Up. So we will go through those here. And Kmart, we'll start with you. What's the headline going to say?
Kimberly Chronicle. It will say Joe Cool delivers. I heard everything Bart said about the Rams. This is a team that should win, except Joe Burrow. That guy, all that swag, I think he's going to win the Heisman, national championship, and a Super Bowl because he is just that cool.
He's a hard guy to pick against. Tim Hasselbeck, what's the headline?
Well, I know he's going to be standing next to Bart when he was going to be holding a hammer. So I'm saying defense wins championship.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Yeah, and Aaron Donald is the MVP. I just think the way this stacks up is that the weak link for Cincinnati is that offensive line, and the strength of that defense is that guy right there. I think he dominates the football game. I think he's the MVP. Much as we've talked about these quarterbacks, I think he ends up being the story.
Right, fair enough. And mine here, the Greeny Republic headline, best turnaround in NFL history. That's what it will be if he does it. And look, everything in my mind tells me the Rams should win this game. But every now and again, you don't choose the story. The story chooses you. How do you bet against this guy? How do you pick against what this guy is doing right now? I can't do it. So I am taking Burrow as well. Bart Scott, put a ribbon on the conversation today.
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be an outstanding game. One team legacy is going to be changed forever. Will it be the Cincinnati Bengals to win their first Super Bowl and exercise all the demons of Boomer Esiason and the Bengals that came up short in the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, it's going to be a fun game to watch. I can't wait for it.
And go ahead, Timmy.
Yeah, I just think, you know, you've talked about it throughout the show. Like, what this will mean for one of these quarterbacks, remarkable.
Yes.
You know, Stafford, what he's been through to get to this point, and then Burrow with how quickly this has happened.
Final word, Kmart.
Regardless, whichever quarterback loses, we still know these two guys are two of the best quarterbacks in the league.
All right, I agree. I need a medic because the arm is hit. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the game. First Take starts now.